I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of 1 Kings in the chapter 18. That is 1 Kings chapter 18. We're commencing to read at the verse number 36. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word together. That's 1 Kings chapter 18 and the verse number 36. Let's follow God's infallible word as we open the scriptures together, please. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Elijah went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that as he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray together. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee, we praise thee that we're bowed in thy presence. We thank thee that we have the privilege of gathering round thy precious word today in thy house among thy people. And Lord, we have been singing thy praises, and we rejoice that we believe with all our hearts that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that thou hast promised us in thy word, thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more. We thank thee that thou hast cast them behind thy back and into the depths of the sea, never ever to remember them against us again. And O God, we rejoice that we have such a Savior. We thank thee, our God, for thy hand upon us. Even to this day, truly we can say, hitherto hath thou the Lord helped us. And Lord, today we're so thankful that our God, so many in this service have been to the fountain of cleansing and are gloriously and wonderfully saved. We pray today if there be those in this gathering that know not Christ, may this be the day of their salvation. And for those that have wandered, may this be the day of their restoration. Thank you, Lord, for thy goodness to us. And we pray thy blessing upon us, even as we meditate upon thy word. For we pray in Jesus' precious and lovely name, and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. Now, over the past weeks, we've been looking at this passage of God's word. We've been emphasizing the verse there, number 38, and those opening words, Then the fire of the Lord fell. And the Bible tells us when the fire fell, the fire consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. You say to yourself, you know, this has been a tremendous movement of God and great stirring of God. Surely Elijah should be satisfied that the work has been done. But you know, Elijah realized that moment, whenever the fire fell, that his day was not concluded. For he knew there was something else to happen. That day, there was to come the abundance of rain. Now, how did he know this, you might ask? How did he expect the abundance of rain to come on that day after that the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up all the sacrifice? This answer is very simple. In verse number 1 of this 18th chapter, it says, "It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And because of the promise of God, Elijah was absolutely sure. He stood upon the promises that God had given. He knew that God would keep his precious word. Now, of course, up to this moment, Elijah had been the instrument in God's hand to be the means by which God would use to stop the rain, because he prayed that God would shut up the heavens and there would be no rain because of the people's worship of Baal. But now the Lord has vindicated himself, and the people of Israel had cried out these words, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And the prophets of Baal were taken. And the prophets were taken down, the 400 prophets of Baal, and they were slain. Or the 450 prophets of Baal, and they were slain. And because of that, Elijah knew that it was time for the rain to fall. You see, when God reveals his will, friend, when God reveals his will to you, then, my friend, you know that you're in the center of the will of God. And nothing in all the world will deter you, because you know you're in the center of the will of God. And I say not only to young people, but to older people, you be sure, friend, that you're walking in the center of God's will, because as we trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God's promises were the encouragement, the energy, as it were, to Elijah's prayer and seeking the face of God again, that God would send the rain. And he prayed specifically and confidently, knowing that he was asking in the will of God. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." My friend, you could get nothing better than that. What a blessed assurance that when we know it is God's will, then we are absolutely sure and absolutely confident that we're praying according to God's will. Then God heareth us, and when he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, the closing verses of this chapter 18 is so important, because it tells us the day whenever the rain from heaven fell. God's judgment frequently are followed by his mercies and his great blessings. And whenever God's people get right with him, when the people get right with God, friend, and are obedient to God's laws and to God's commands, then God has promised, God has covenanted to pour out the blessing. And we sang about that this morning. There shall be showers of blessing, for this is the promise of God. In the book of Ezekiel and the chapter 34. My friend, these words are written in the Word of God. Listen to these words. It says in verse number 22, it says, "Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Ezekiel 34, verse 24, "And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And then God says this, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. My friend, whenever God's people get right with him, God has promised, God has covenanted to send the showers of blessing. And you know, when God's child walks with God, he is endued with the power of God and the authority of God. See, God sent his servant back into the presence of the king. Remember, he sent him in chapter 17 into the presence of the king, and he said, listen, there shall be no rain. But thank God he comes back, and he's heading into the great conflict of Mount Carmel. But he goes with a promise of God, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. See, the backcloth to that power, friend, that this man Elijah had in that day of apostasy was his prayer life. And how did he pray? He prayed in accordance to the word of God. You see, you know, that was an awful judgment when God shut up the heavens and there was no rain. But friend, he prayed that in accordance to God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, it says this, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. God says he shuts up the heavens, and there would be no rain. And so when Elijah prayed that for that in the day of apostasy, he again was praying in the center of the will of God. He was praying according to the promise of God. He based his prayer upon the word of God. And now God has promised to send rain. God is going to send an abundance of rain. And thank God, God's servant went to Mount Carmel to face that great opposition. 450 prophets of Baal. All the people of Israel that had turned away to Baal worship. And yet he went a lonely figure to the top of that mountain. Why was he able to go with courage? Because he knew he was in the center of the will of God. God had promised to send rain. So therefore God has promised, therefore, to send the fire. And God was going to vindicate himself. And the people would turn unto God. And when people turned unto God, then God would send the rain again. See, friend, I'll tell you, here's a great encouragement for the day of battle. When you know that you're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from the victory. Because the victory's already won. Thank God on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ won the victory for us. And you and I can claim the promises of God. And therefore, let us not be discouraged. God is still in the throne. Oh, we sing the wee chorus. Friend, let me tell you quite often, that's the end of it. But God is still in the throne. He will remember his own. His promise is true. Thank God he'll not forget you. God is still in the throne. You know, God's in control not only of spiritual things. God's in control even of natural things. Even the very nature itself is in the hand of God. Let me show you that. Turn to the book of Job just for a moment. In Job chapter 28. This is what it says in Job 28, verse number 26. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. God made a decree. God of heaven, friend, he made a decree for the rain. And God made a way for the lightning of the thunder. This did not happen by chance. This was a decree of God. God made a decree for the rain. Then turn to the book of Proverbs. And in that wee book of Proverbs, in the chapter number 8, let me show you something else, just how God is sovereign, even in all of these natural things. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 29. It says this, or verse 28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountain of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, God gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Does that thrill your soul? Listen, God is sovereign in everything. God is not sovereign in some things. Listen, you say, well, God's sovereign in the day of revival and God is sovereign in these spiritual things. Let me tell you, God took an interest in the very sea. And God made a decree concerning that sea. And God says, listen to the sea, you're not going to pass that down. You're going to go so far and no further. I'll tell you this, God has made a decree concerning the devil and the devil's crowd. You'll go so far, but you'll go no further. Child of God, don't you be overcome with the power of the devil. Don't you be my discouraged this morning. I tell you, here's encouragement for you. Listen, it says in God's word, he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. And turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. This book is full of friend. Jeremiah chapter 5. Look at verse number 22. And this is what it says, and I tell you, this thrills my soul. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my commandments, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? God has not only made a decree to the sea, God has made a decree concerning the sand of the sea. Child of God, why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? The devil's crowds on every hand, yes. And it seems that the devil's having his day. But God has made a decree. God has made a decree. And I'll tell you, God has made a decree that thank God he wins. God wins. And his people do. I mean, the devil crowd's not going to win, friend. I'll tell you, God's having the last say in this whole battle. It says this. For the Lord hath placed the sand for the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail, though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. See, God's in control. God is sovereign in his will because he is the ruler. God is the sovereign ruler of heaven and of earth. And children of God, be blessed and be encouraged and be inspired by this very fact that God is still on the throne. Do you remember what he said way back in the book of Genesis chapter 7? He said this to Noah. He says, yet 7 days. Chapter 7, verse 4. Yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Noah had nothing to do with the rain. It was God. I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. Why? Because he had the promise of God. Because he was standing on the promises of God. And friend, let me tell you, you and I should bless our souls and encourage our hearts standing on the promises of God because God has decreed it. And no man will be able to change it. No devil will be able to change it. Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 3. It says this, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. God says, listen, I will give you rain, because God is the God who sends the rain. He's the one who is in control of everything. And let me tell you, with God, there's always a purpose. I haven't time to go into it. You read Isaiah chapter 55, friend. And let me tell you, the snow comes down, the rain comes down from heaven. And what does it do? To water the earth. Why? Why does God send that? Because that the earth might bring forth and bud. And why does he do that? That it might give bread to the eater. Or seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You see, God has a purpose in the whole program. In the whole program, God's in control of it all. So why should we worry or fret? Let us recognize, friend, that God who says, I will send the rain, is the God who says also, I will withdraw the rain. I will withdraw it. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 6, before we move on, we're just going to read this. It says, and I will lay it waste, speaking about the vineyard, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. Then it says this, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. God says, I'm telling to the clouds, don't you let any of the rain go. God has decreed it. God has commanded a child of God. Let me tell you this. No scientist will be able to reverse when God says it. Scientists are trying to tell us about the start of this earth without God. They're trying to remove God from everything. I want to tell you this. There's never been a scientist that breathed without God. Remember that. There's never been a scientist that has breathed without God, because in him we live and move and have our being. God breathed into man. Yes, into those scientists. God breathed into them. And they became a living soul. So don't you get discouraged. For God's in control of everything. And so whenever the people, let's go back to 1 Kings now. And whenever the people cried out, the Lord, he is God, friend. And they returned their allegiance to Jehovah. Then they were ready for the blessing to fall. And then it says in verse number 40, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. They took them down, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. There is the sound of abundance of rain. The rain's coming. The rain's coming. Oh, wouldn't that be tremendous? If God was to say to Baron Ulster again, the rain's coming. If God was to say to the Church of Jesus Christ that is so discouraged and so disheartened, the rain's coming, revival's coming again, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. But friend, let me tell you, the evil had to be put away, and the judgment had to fall to make way for the blessing. It's interesting to notice, friend, that it says the people cried out there, verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. But notice it doesn't say Ahab did. Doesn't say Ahab fell on his face. Doesn't say Ahab the king cried out, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. No mention of the king bowing before God. I just wonder what Ahab did think, you know, that day. Whenever he saw the 450 prophets of Baal being slaughtered, taken down to the brook, I just wonder what he thought. Did he think, well, what's going to happen to me? Well, friend, if he did think that, he certainly didn't humble himself and he didn't cry out unto God for deliverance. You see, here's a stubborn heart. Friend, let me tell you, a man's heart can be so stubborn that they're not willing to bow before God. Because you see, Elijah, he said there's going to be rain. There's going to be rain. But that was after the people cried out unto God. Now, notice something here. Verse number 41, what did Elijah say to Ahab, this hardened, rebellious king? What did he say to him? And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. For there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now, why did he say that to him? Eat and drink. I'll tell you why. Because he knew that that's exactly all that the king cared for. And his day was coming too. You see, friends, let me tell you, man's heart can be so haughty. Just turn to the book of Ecclesiastes a wee moment. And the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This shows you man's heart is so haughty. Because it says in verse 11, chapter 8, Ecclesiastes 11, or 8 verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You see, let me tell you, the 450 prophets of Baal, they were slaughtered that day, but Ahab was left alone. His day was coming. He was an enemy of God. And let me tell you, my friend, God would take Ahab on, but it wasn't his time. One of the commentators point out that Elijah was saying this, get thee up where thy tents are pitched, The feast is spread in thy gilded pavilion. Thy lackeys await thee. Go feast on thy dainties, but be quick. For now that the land is rid of these traitor priests, God is once more enthroned in his rightful place. The showers of rain cannot be longer delayed. A.W. Pink said, the appointed time for sealing the king's doom had not yet arrived. And meanwhile, he suffered as a beast to fatten himself for the slaughter. You see, because their sentence against their evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set. But go back to verse 6 of chapter 8, Ecclesiastes, it says this, because to every purpose is a time and judgment. And the time and judgment for Ahab would come, but it's not yet. He has got to see what God's going to do for him. He has got to witness more of the power of God, although he be the king. He has got to see that God is the one that's upon the throne. It's not him. And so Elijah knew that all Ahab cared was eating and drinking. So he says, listen, get up and get it. You might as well have your last eat and drink, because the rain's coming. God sending the abundance of rain. And let me tell you, my friend, I have no doubt when Ahab heard that, Ahab said, I've got a way. I'm not going to be like the 450 prophets of Baal. God's overlooked me. What does he do? Verse 42, let's notice this. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Yes, he went to his pavilion. Notice no conviction. Notice no concern about the prophets of Baal. Notice no hint of sorrow, no hint of repentance. He cared for nothing but himself. And friend, that's always a dangerous thing, when we care for nobody but ourselves. Because here's a tragic figure. You know, I'll tell you how sad Ahab was. Set your back in chapter 18 just for a wee moment. Go back to verse number 5 of chapter 18. What a sad picture of a man this is. Remember, the land's in drought, people starving, everything's dying. Look at chapter 18. Well, is the king worried about his people? No. Look at verse 5. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of waters, and unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. He was more concerned about the beasts, the mules and the horses, than he was concerned about his people. Doesn't that show you the heart of the man? Friend, let me tell you, we live in a selfish age. So easy to point the finger at Ahab, but let me tell you, me and mine seems to be the operative thought in people's minds today. As long as I'm all right, Jack, doesn't matter about anybody else or the cause of Jesus Christ, as long as I have my way. And so here we find all Ahab cared was about the horses and the mules to get them grass to feed them while his people die. And all he cares about now is himself. The Bible says in verse 42, Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But that's all he cared about. You know, isn't it amazing? He's ordered by Elijah to do that. Because Elijah knew that he was bound by the lusts and the passions of his own flesh. You see, if he hadn't have been, he would have turned to Elijah. And this is what he said. Elijah, you know, it's not time for eating and drinking. My people's dying. What we need is rain. It's not time. God has vindicated his power. God has shown his authority. And the prophets of Baal, they're all slain. They could provide no fire. And God has spoken, you know, Elijah, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to confess her sin. But friend, he didn't do that, because his heart was not right with God. Well, if Elijah didn't do it, if Ahab didn't do it, what did Elijah do? Let's look at what Elijah did, friend. This is what it says in verse 42. Whilst the king was up there eating and drinking, Elijah went, verse 42, went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. He went to pray. Yes, it was time to pray, but let me tell you this, he didn't bring Ahab with him. He didn't say, King, it's time to pray. No, because he knew that Ahab wasn't right with God. His heart was not right with God. There was a wickedness in his heart. And therefore, he wasn't right with God, and therefore, he had no power in prayer. And Elijah went to pray. And Ahab went to feed his face and to feed the flesh. And the man of God goes to the mount to pray. Let me tell you, friend, here's the interesting thing is this. Elijah's public work was finished there in Mount Carmel for that time. Now it's time for private work before the throne of God. And let me tell you this, private time before the throne is equally as important as public. You know, people say, well, listen, but I'm not on the public face. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're not on the public face, let me tell you, where you should be in the private place with God. And is that the mark of your life? God hasn't called you to the public place, but God has called every child of his to the private place, the place of prayer. And that's what exactly God is doing now. He has removed him from his public work for a moment. That's not over. But he's been removed from the public eye, and he goes in private before God. And let me tell you, friend, that's who you and I really are. It's what we are in the private place with God. That's who you are. You can have a public face. But if you're not in the private place with God, friend, and have power with God in the secret closet, then nothing else will really count. For we need always to pray and not to faint. Now notice exactly what happened here. Notice, first of all, the promise. Because the promise was the basis of his prayer. Here was a man that had power with God. He said in verse number 41, there is the sound of abundance of rain. Before the rain ever came, he says there's the sound of abundance of rain. Why was he able to say that, friend? Because he was speaking in faith. God had promised rain, verse 1. And Elijah believed God. And let me tell you, before that rain ever came, he could hear. He could hear the preparation of the rain. He heard that which should be. It is called in Galatians 3, verse 2, the hearing of faith. Now, at that time when he said that, let me say this to you. The sky was as blue as could be. There wasn't a cloud. Not even a little cloud. Not a little cloud in the sky, friend. And yet he said to the king, there is the sound of abundance of rain. But Elijah, with the hearing of faith, knew that the rain was at hand. You see, faith looks upon the things that God has promised as if they were fulfilled. There was not a doubt in Elijah's mind, friend, that God was going to send that rain. He was sure. He was sure that the promised rain would come just as real as if he heard that first drop of a big drop of rain on a rock on Mount Carmel. He was assured. Now, there was no drop. He prayed for rain, resting on the promise of God. And friend, he asked God to do, in other words, what he said he would do. He prayed in accordance to the revealed will of God. Now, God reveals his will to us. First of all, God reveals his will to us in his word. His word. And that's the final arbiter. But God reveals as well by His Spirit. Because the Spirit of God aids and He assists, He directs us in prayer. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, what does it say there? Romans 8 and verse number 26. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God aids us by his Holy Spirit. And God answers our prayers in accordance to his will. Now here's a question that troubles some people. Whenever Elijah was able to say there is the sound of abundant rain and he believed that God had promised the rain, why did he have to pray for it then? Why did he have to pray for it? For James chapter 5 tells us, way back over there in James, it tells us that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Now in verse number 1 of chapter 18, God says, I'm going to send rain today. In verse number 41, he said to the king, eat and drink, there is the sound of the abundance of rain. And then in verse 42, it says, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, he cast himself down on his face, on the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he's crying to God. He's praying. What for? Rain. Well, why did he have to pray? Why did he have to pray? Sure, the rain was promised. The rain was coming. Why pray for it if it's God's purpose to send it? What's the answer? Because that's God's ordained way, friend. That's God's ordained will. Prayer is the channel through which God performs his will. Our brother read this morning in Ezekiel chapter 36. And that's what God said in chapter 36. Just turn forward. We're nearly this passage of God's word. We haven't time to go through it, but you'll notice God says in this chapter, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And God says in verse 35, this land was which was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. All of these things. Verse 36, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will do it. Notice verse 37, but. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. You see, we have to pray. In the performance of the Lord, God says, I'll do it through the prayer of my people. Children of God, just because you know this is God's will, therefore I can stop praying. I don't need to labor. No, my friend, listen, God has told you that he wants to be sought of. And he says, you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. He says, I want to be sought of. God desires his people to pray in the fulfillment of his will. The promise of prayer. Notice the place of prayer. In verse number 42, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. What does that mean, friend? He left the crowd. And he left the people. And he left the king. And he went alone to pray with God. Can you imagine what it must have been whenever he stood there on his own amongst that vast crowd of people that were gathered and 450 prophets of Baal and all the rest of it? What a lonely thinker he was. Can you understand the energy that he must have expended that day? And then he goes up to the top of the mountain alone with God. What a relief. What a relief, friend, it must have been to get alone in the presence of God. after the excitement of the mount. And there is no substitute for it. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." You need to be still, friend. You need to get alone with God. We've got that example in the Scriptures. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Our lovely Savior himself. And oft times the Savior was amongst the crowds. But in Mark chapter 1, verse number 35, it says this: "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Alone with his Father. Mark chapter 6, and verse number 46. And it says, "And when he had sent them away," that was his disciples, "constrained them to get into the ship," verse 45. It says, "And when he had sent them away," verse 46, "he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And the verse number 15. "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." He withdrew himself. Friend, he went alone with his Father. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. After the great multitude of fishes that were spread out to the 5,000, it says this in verse number 18. "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples with him." Got away from the crowd, friend. Alone with God. Never underestimate the value and immense benefit of prayer in the secret closet alone. And that's what I'm asking you this morning. Tell me, do you get alone with God? Now, let me tell you, it is important, because read the book of the Acts of the Apostles and all the rest of it, and you'll find that it's good for God's people to gather together to pray. And it's important that we don't forget the assembling of ourselves together to pray. The united family of God praying is a powerful thing, but that is not a substitute for you in a secret closet with God, friend. Doing business with Jehovah God. And he went alone to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth. And he put his face. As we finish, let's look at the posture just for a moment. He cast himself down upon the earth. And he put his face between his knees. You know, a short time before that, he was standing tall. He went into the presence of the king, announced the judgment of God. He went to Mount Carmel, and there he faced the prophets of Baal and the multitude. Well, now, friend, notice his posture. He's not standing tall, friend. He's on his face. And he put his face between his knees before God. Elijah, with all his authority from God, never lost his reverence for God. He hides his face. He acknowledges, "God, I'm nothing." Now, what happened in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died? "I saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord was high and lifted up on his train. It filled the temple." And what did he say, friend, whenever that happened in chapter 6? It says, "And above the throne, the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And what did Isaiah say? He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone." See, just because God had honored him, friend, and God had given him the power in prayer, it didn't mean that Elijah came into the presence of God with familiarity. You know, it grieves me when I hear some people pray. We've got this prayer today that has lost the reverence for God. Oh, the modern places that talk about the big man upstairs. Let me tell you, my friend. When I come to prayer, I am coming as a child to my Father. That's true. But I'm coming to my sovereign as a subject. The angels, the seraphims cried, "Holy, holy, holy." Now the word of God says we're to come boldly unto the throne of grace. But friend, whilst it's true that you and I have the privilege of coming boldly to the throne of grace, never ever think that you're coming into the presence of someone your equal. You're coming into the presence of Jehovah God. The one that gave you breath. But the woman in a moment like that can take it away. The sovereign one. Remember, decreed the seas, decreed the sands, decreed the rain. Decreed the day of your birth. And has already decreed the day of your death. That's the God you're coming before. The awesome presence of God. And that is why it is important that when you come before God, friend, don't come with familiarity as if God is your equal. Because God resisteth the proud. And God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, 1 Peter chapter 5, 6. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Isn't that mighty? That I can come before him today. And I do. My Heavenly Father. My Sovereign Lord. My Savior. And he's interested in me. Child of God, get on your knees before him. Humble yourself before him. For a haughty spirit God despises. And he will exalt you. He'll lift you up. In due season, when it's time, casting all your care upon him, he careth for you. That's our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, humbly and reverently I come before you this morning and acknowledge that thou art indeed God alone, I thank thee, O God, for thy goodness to bring us to this very moment, to give us the opportunity to come into thy house together around thy word. We thank thee for the stillness of thy house, for thou hast said in thy word, be still and know that I am God. I am God. Sovereign Lord of all. And if there's someone this morning in this service that have never yielded to you, they've never trusted in you, Lord, oh God, I pray that this might be the day that they will come to thee, a holy God, through thy Son, and know him as their Savior. And then, through Christ, be on praying terms with thee to do business with thee, God Almighty. In Jesus' name.